tell I'm going to feel right at home here. Is that better? You missed all the good stuff. That's all I got for you. That's it right there. It's easier to lose ground that has been gained. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, and I'll try not to be long in this second lesson, but tonight, or this afternoon, the subject of the message is gaining or maintaining. That's what we're going to talk about. When it comes to physical fitness, have you ever noticed it's a lot harder to go up and make gains, or it's a lot easier to lose what you've gained? And if you've gained in the way of physical fitness, it's real easy to lose that if you're not careful. It's a lot harder to get physically fit if you have gotten out of shape, isn't it? Financially, you have to work hard to make some gains in your life. But if you're not careful with your finances, it's real easy to lose it. It will make itself wings and fly away, won't it? It's like you've got holes in your pockets if you're not careful. We can make all kinds of applications how it's easier to go down than up. But you know, balance in life is really important. By the way, I strongly believe that God wants us to take care of ourselves. God has given us a body. That body is to be used to glorify Him. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And God wants us to take care of ourselves. It's a bad testimony. I believe it's a bad testimony to let ourselves just go and to be whatever. It's a bad testimony. It doesn't represent Christ. And the Lord wants us to serve Him with our lives. And we can serve Him better if we take care of ourselves. That's a personal opinion of mine. And I'm not going to preach opinions to you, but I believe it's important. Because, you know what, if I am not healthy and if I don't take care of myself, this life may be cut short. And I can't serve the Lord like I should or could if I'm not taking care of myself. It's also a reflection of our character. Now, that's sort of part of the message, but not really the message. But I say all that to tell you this. I believe we should take care of ourselves and we should be physically fit. But there needs to be balance in life. Because people, we are prone to extremes. In all kinds of areas, we're prone to extremes. And I have some friends, you know, they're huge into CrossFit. Have you ever heard of CrossFit? And it's a great workout, it is. And my friends are huge into it. And you know, they're kind of sort of into physical fitness and bodybuilding. And to me, it's one thing to be in shape and be physically fit, but it's another thing to go to the extreme. Because then it becomes vanity. And it's for me. And it's not for the right reason. Financially, there needs to be balance. I think we need to be wise stewards with what God has given to us. Yes, we do. And people can save their money, and you should. But you know what? That can be an extreme too. And it can become a god. And it's not put in the right balance. Balance in the Christian life, balance in our physical life is very important. Because we're prone to extremes. And you know, anything that can be a good thing that becomes an extreme then becomes a bad thing. Because it will very soon replace God in our lives. And so it's important to gain. And if we're not careful, we'll lose what we've gained. But balance is also important in life. And, you know, we talked about a lot of physical things here. But spiritually speaking, this same principle is true. You have to work hard to gain ground in the spiritual life, don't you? Have you ever felt that way? Ever noticed that? You got to work hard to gain ground in the spiritual life because this flesh fights and this flesh wants control. And it's very easy to give in to the flesh. So it's a battle. And we have to work hard to gain ground, spiritually speaking, especially fighting this old sinful flesh. But it's so easy to lose what has been gained if we are not careful. I want you to turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I want us to read the words of the Apostle Paul to this church in Philippi, but there's some really important things that he has to say in regards to gaining or maintaining. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. We'll start there. The Bible says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Now let me stop right there. He says, if by any means I might attain. That word attain means to arrive. So he says, if by any means I might arrive unto the resurrection of the dead. What is he talking about? The resurrection of the dead. What does that mean? Anybody? Any ideas what he's talking about there? He says, if I, by any means I might attain or arrive unto the resurrection of the dead. What was that? Okay, yes. When death happens for this physical body, or when Christ comes again and we are resurrected, what do we receive? A glorified body. And he's talking about perfection or completeness. He says, if by any means I'm striving to arrive at perfection. And he's not talking about perfection as in doing everything perfect, but being sinless. Not having that sin nature. He says it's what he's striving for. And then he says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained. Now that word is actually a word that means gotten a hold of. So follow this. He says in verse 11, if by any means I might attain, arrive, unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained or gotten hold of this principle, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend. That word apprehend means to possess. He says, I follow after this, I pursue after this, if that I may possess that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, what he's saying is his goal is Christ-likeness. That's what he's saying. My goal is to be like Christ. I'm pursuing after this to this principle of being like Christ. And it's not as though I've already gotten a hold of this. I'm not perfect at it. But I want to be like Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He's saying, I'm going to keep growing. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. That word perfect means complete. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, this is the places that you've already gotten to, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. He's saying, maintain what you've learned, what you've grown, and don't lose what you've gained. And then verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. The Apostle Paul gives us some good admonition for how we ought to be pursuing, what we ought to be pursuing in the Christian life. And he says here that his goal was to be like Christ. He wants to gain Christ in his life. And it's not as though he's already reached that point, but that's the thing that he's pursuing after. And that's what we're going to talk about here tonight. The first principle that we'll talk about is God's purpose for his saints. It's found in verse 8, God's purpose for his saints. He says there, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." That word, to win Christ, it means, it's a Greek word that means to gain. That's what it means. He says, "I've counted all things but loss, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." I want to gain Christ. And this is God's purpose for his saints, to gain in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's will for his people to grow. It's God's will for his people to move forward. It's not even God's will for his people to maintain. Now follow me here. Maintaining is not growing, is it? And it's God's will for his people to grow, not just to maintain. If you're not growing, then you've slipped. You've slipped in some things. Just maintaining is not growing. Often, maintaining is covering the same ground all over again because it was lost. You follow me? Often, maintaining a level is covering the same ground over again because you lost it. So you get right back to that level again. That's maintaining. That's not growing. For example, weightlifters. If any of you have been weightlifters before, you know what I'm talking about when I say you have to work hard to gain strength. It's a lot of work to gain strength. And you press it and you push it and you pull it and you build those muscles to gain strength. What happens if you stop? You begin to quickly lose everything that you've gained. And you got to start all over again. I've been there and done that many times. You know, work hard and you end up hurting yourself, and so you can't do it, and it takes 2 weeks. I just put 6 months of my life into this, and I got hurt, and in 2 weeks I've lost everything that I gained. That's frustrating. And it helps me show that there's a lot of vanity in that, and it's maybe not a good place to go. But my point is, weightlifters will understand that principle that maintaining is not growing. Dieting, that's another good one. Been there and done that before myself too. Got to do something about this. So you put yourself on a diet and you follow this strict regimen and you got to be disciplined and you got to work hard at this. And then all of a sudden, I just kind of take it easy a little bit. I'm going to reward myself because I work so hard at this. Oh, how quickly we lose what we've gained, right? And maybe it should be reversed around. How hard it is to lose what I've gained. You know what I'm saying, though. Up and down, and then up and down, and then up and down some more is not progress. We're not going anywhere. And it's God's purpose for his saints to grow. Past growth becomes wasted gain if we're up and down, and up and down, and all over the place, and not consistent. Past growth becomes wasted. If we gain, and then we lose, and then we gain, and then we lose, and we're up and down and back and forth. That's not God's purpose for his children. And so we also find in this passage the principle of perseverance, to hold on and maintain the things that we've gained. Why? Why is that important? The future is affected by this. The potential for future growth and progress hinges on our ability to hold on to and maintain the things that we have gained in this Christian life. Look at James chapter 1 with me. James chapter 1, verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Verse 8, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." That word double-minded there, it means inconsistent. He says an inconsistent person is unstable in all of his ways. It's not God's will for us to be up and down like a wave of the sea and driven here and driven there. God wants us to maintain what we've learned so that we can then move past that and grow. God wants us to grow. How do we make gains then in the Christian life? Well, you can't build on anything if it's unstable, right? You got to be consistent. Maintaining is good in most things, and it's good for the Christian life. However, it's God's purpose that we move forward, that we grow, not just maintain. And so how do we make gains in the Christian life? Number one, by commitment. It takes real commitment to make gains in the Christian life. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And he gives the admonition here. He says that we have a high priest in Jesus Christ. He knows our feelings. And he says, let's hold fast our profession. Now, why would we want to hold fast that profession? If it's real, and it is real, and not just religion, then we know this is a source of life for us. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is there. He's really there. And so if he's really there, should we not be committed to him? It takes commitment. Commitment to him, to stand. Because one day we're going to actually stand before him. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. I want to make this link and this connection here. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Here's that same principle of perseverance, holding fast our profession of faith without wavering. But then he gets to verse 25, and he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. There's a definite link between maintaining in the Christian life, persevering in the Christian life, and then growing in the Christian life. There's a link between that and church attendance. You see that there? He says, hold fast our profession and don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's a definite link between growing in the Lord and being faithful and committed in church attendance. It's where the Word of God is taught and preached and expounded. You know, you can have your devotional life, and that's a good thing, you should. But you will never, ever, ever grow like God wants you to if you are not faithful in a local New Testament church. It won't happen. I've seen it many, many times. Oh, I can worship God on my own. I can worship God just as good out on a fishing boat as I can in church. No, you can't. Because you're violating biblical principles. And it's important to have a personal relationship with the Lord and personal devotional time. But it's God's will for His people to grow. And you will only find that growth under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God in a local New Testament church. That's a biblical principle. And I would ask the question, is living for Christ real to you? Is it really real to you? Are you committed to Him? Or do you just play church? Are you consistent in your Christian life? Are you the same at home as you are in church? Are you the same during the work week as you are in church? Is it the same love for the Lord? Are you consistent? It takes commitment to grow in the Christian life. There's none of this up and down, back and forth, if you're going to grow. I mean, it's great when the Spirit of God works in somebody's heart and convicts them about some things in their life. And they say, all right, I'm going to get it. All right, Lord, I'm going to submit this to you. And we work on it, but then we kind of just fall by the wayside a little bit. We kind of forget about it. We kind of go back to the old rut and routine. And then we lose what maybe the Lord was doing. And then later on, that same thing comes back again, and the Spirit of God starts to convict you, and you're like, you know what, I gotta give this to the Lord. You're right, this shouldn't be my life. Okay, God, you come to the altar and you pray about it, but then you go home and really don't do anything to change it. Kind of goes back to the same old routine again, and up and down, and up and down. We're never gaining. It's God's purpose for His people to grow. It takes commitment to do that. Here's another principle for gaining in the Christian life, and that's determined effort. It takes commitment, but it also takes determined effort. Go back to Philippians 3, and I want you to look at verse 16. It takes determined effort if we're going to grow. Like I said, it's easier to go down than up. If we're going to go up, it takes work. Verse 16, he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, he says, the gains that you've already made, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. And it takes some determined effort to maintain. And then to be able to build on that and move forward. And like I said, maintaining is good. But you know what? If you're pushing forward and you're moving forward, you don't have to worry about maintaining, do you? If you're pushing forward and you're making gains, you don't have to worry about maintaining because you're striving to move forward. You have to be determined that you're not going to lose what you've worked so hard to gain. I mean, what happens when, let's use dieting for an example. You know, you make some good changes. You got to be determined that you're not going to go back to those old ways. You got to be determined that you're not going to go back into the same old things. Because what will happen if you go back into the same old things? What will happen? You're going to be exactly the same as you were if you don't make those changes. And it takes some determined effort. How about vision? Here's another one. Making gains in the Christian life, it takes some vision. Have you thought about where you want to be 6 months or a year from now? Able to see past tomorrow? Have you thought about where you want to be 6 months or a year from now? Well, in order to grow, you've got to put some things in place to help facilitate that in your life. Does that make sense? For example, the ministries in my church back in Grand Forks, I've thought about many, many times, what will happen to these ministries if I'm not there? Well, we've made some real gains in some ministries. We've worked hard to gain some things. What's going to happen to these if I'm not there? And I think down the road, 6 months, a year from now, the Lord may pick me up and move me from Grand Forks, North Dakota, and move me some other place. And so what do I need to do? And on purpose, started putting people in positions, men in places of leadership, so that if and when God would pick me up and move me, those ministries are not going to fail. They're not going to falter. They're going to keep on going. And praise the Lord. Because it looks like God is picking me up and moving me someplace else. But I have all confidence that those ministries are not going to take steps backwards. They're going to move forward. They're going to push on. They're going to grow. Because there's some vision. There's vision of what's going to happen. Where do I want to be? Where am I going? And if I have a vision about where I want to go, then I need to put things into my life that help facilitate that in my life. Paul said, I press toward the mark. You see that? He had a vision. He had a goal. I press toward the mark. He had a goal in mind, something he was shooting for. And we must have goals in the Christian life as well. What kinds of goals? What kinds of goals? How about victory over sin? You think that's a good, worthy goal to have in the Christian life? I think it's a good goal. Recognizing weaknesses and problem areas, and then asking God for victory in those things and pressing toward that mark. Well, that depends on the heart attitude, of course. How about a goal of being less attracted by the things of this world? That's a good, worthy goal, because we'll never be like Christ if we're like the world. The world's entertainments, TV, fashions, fads, careers, all of those things can be problems. And we should have a goal of being less attracted to the things of this world. I don't want to be like the world because I love Christ. Well, if that's really true, then I'm going to be willing to remove its elements from my life. You follow me? How about boldness in witnessing? That's a good, worthy goal to have in the Christian life. Lord, make me a faithful witness. Make it a habit of my life to share Christ with others. Give me boldness to stand up and speak the truth. Help me not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See, we've got to see beyond where we're living today. We've got to have a vision to see beyond where we're living today. We need to surrender to get out of the comfort zone of life. Have you ever been guilty of falling into the comfort zone? I have. Life sort of just takes over. And this is what we do. And this is how we live our lives. And life becomes more about me and what I'm doing now than it becomes about Christ and living for eternity. And we fall into a comfort zone, a rut. This is just, okay, this is our routine. This is just what we do. And I don't think God's pleased with that. We got to see beyond where we're living today. Get out of the comfort zone of life. And you know what? That becomes a heart issue. I don't want to get out of my comfort zone because I like how things are in my life. Most of the time, people don't like change. I get it. But change is not always bad. And when it comes to the Christian life, many times change is good because it gets us out of our comfort zone so we can move forward. We've got to press toward the mark. It takes commitment to grow. It takes determined effort to grow. It takes some vision to grow. And are we gaining or are we maintaining? Because God doesn't want us just to maintain. He wants us to grow. So we see God's purpose in the Christian life. And the last principle is our potential in the Christian life. What is our potential? Go back to Philippians 3 and look at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained or gotten hold of this Christ-likeness, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I'm pursuing this, if that I may possess or apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I want you to ask yourself the question. And you can ask yourself this question right now. What is my potential in the Christian life? I wonder if maybe there's some sitting in this room right now who've never even thought about that. Never even asked yourself that question. What is my potential in the Christian life? What could God use me to do? Where does He want me to go? What gains can I make? What levels can I reach? What is my potential? And then, how do I get there? If I ask myself the question, what's my potential? How do I get there? Well, you know, goals in life are good things. Goals often energize people. For example, you hear this all the time, New Year's resolutions, right? People make a New Year's resolution because they know they want something to be different. They know they need to change somehow, and so they set for themselves a New Year's resolution. It's a goal that often energizes people. But without proper preparation, that goal will not be reached, and we will fail, right? You know, you understand what I'm saying? You've been there. Without proper preparation, we're going to fail because of discouragement and not being prepared for the cost. Potential for change takes preparation. Now, let me illustrate it for you. We'll use dieting, for example, again. Let's just say that somebody wants to get in shape physically, all right? And so they're going to go on a diet, they're going to lose some weight. So you set yourself a goal, I'm going to lose some weight, I'm going on this diet. But you don't make any changes to your way of living, your life. Are you going to have success reaching that goal? You know, I'm going on this diet, but all the same food is back at home. There's only junk at home in the refrigerator. I've not made preparations for this task ahead of me. You think you're going to reach your goal? Most likely not. The attempt will most likely be impossible because things have not been adjusted. What am I saying? The same is true in spiritual goals, in devotion to the Lord. What is my potential in the Christian life? How do I get there? Well, if I don't make some adjustments to what's currently going on in my life, then I'm probably not going to reach those goals. Maybe somebody has a goal of having a better relationship with the Lord. Lord, I want to draw closer to you. Well, do you have a devotional life? Well, I'd like to have a devotional life, but you know, I'm so busy, I just don't quite have time to get to it. You know, I've got to go to work early in the morning. You know what? You need to make some adjustments. Get up earlier. Be committed. Be determined. Stand up. Be a man. Be a lady, a godly lady. Be determined. I'm committed to this. I know this is God's will. I know this is what God wants. I'm not going to settle for mediocrity. I'm going to grow. Get up earlier. Just a thought. How about wanting people to be saved? Well, we really have a goal. We want to see people saved. Then you got to get out and sow the seed. You got to get out there. You've got to have some boldness and be a witness for Christ. Oh, we want to see people saved, but no adjustments are made. Think we're going to reach that goal? No, we're not. I'm not, and you're not. What's my potential? How do I get there? Well, I've got to have some goals, and I need to make some adjustments. Goals help with progress. If you don't have a vision and a goal, you're not going to be pressing towards anything. And Paul said, I press toward the mark. That's my goal. This is what I'm pursuing after. You know, nobody has arrived. Nobody has arrived. And even the Apostle Paul, he says, it's not like I've already attained this. It's not like I've already possessed this, but this one thing I do, I'm pressing for that goal. I want to be like Christ. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4. What I'm saying is that there's always, always room to grow. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man or a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Nobody's arrived. We should have this goal in mind of progressing for the Lord, pursuing after Christ's likeness. There's always room for us to grow. And that's God's purpose. He gave pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that we can grow. Verse 15, but to grow up into Him in all things. You know, I was talking to one of the men in the church earlier today. And we were talking about this issue, this subject or issue of discipline. Being disciplined in your life. And that's a good thing. We need some personal discipline in our lives. Because it's too easy to just go with the flow, do this, do that, whatever I feel like doing. And you know what? Living your life by what you feel like doing is not a good way to live your life. Living by principle is how God wants us to live. And most of the time, we don't feel like living by principle. It takes some discipline. And it takes some character to do what we know is right. And I was talking to this gentleman about this issue of discipline, having character. And we were talking about music at the time. It was part of the conversation. But like, you know, you ask a pro whatever, pro golfer, pro basketball player, professional musician, you ask them, why do you practice? You're a professional. You've gained the pinnacles of success in your field. Why do you practice? You know what they'll tell you? Because I think I'm making progress. It tells you what their mindset is. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not as good as I should be or could be yet. I need to keep practicing. I need to keep moving forward. And it's the same in the Christian life. Nobody's arrived. There's always room to grow. And that's what God's purpose for us is. So how do we maintain? We maintain by doing what we know already and being committed and dedicated to that. That's how we maintain, right? Doing, performing what you know already. But how do we progress? We progress by building on what we've gained and maintained. That's how you make gains. That's how you grow. By building on what you've already maintained. You know what? That takes desire. That takes desire. You're never going to move forward if you don't have a desire to. And if you don't have that desire, that means you're not going to please God. Press toward the mark. Get out of the comfort zone. Move forward. Grow. That is God's purpose. That is God's purpose for Plaque Road Baptist Church. Because it hasn't arrived. Brother Demlo has not arrived. God wants us to grow and move forward. And we maintain by doing what we have already learned and doing what we know, but we grow and we progress by building on those things. Ask yourself this question. Am I maintaining or slipping? Or am I really growing and progressing and moving forward for the Lord? Heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. If I get the accompanists to come again, please. Please ask yourself this question, and please be serious about your relationship with the Lord. about where you're at? Do you really have a desire to grow? Or do you want to just stay in your comfort zone? You want to just stay where you're at. But I dare say if you stay where you're at and you're content with that, you're not pleasing the Lord. As the accompanist plays, if the Lord has spoken to your heart about some things, why don't you do some business with God? There's an altar right here. Why don't you just come and pray and talk to the Lord? If God is working in your heart and God is showing you maybe some areas that you're slipping in, maybe some things that you haven't maintained, and the Holy Spirit of God is saying, it's time to get going. It's time to get going. Let's have some discipline. Let's have some character. Let's grow. Let's move forward. What needs to be done that's not currently being done in your personal life? What needs to be done that's not being done? What about in this church? What needs to be done that's not being done? My point is, folks, what manner of persons ought we to be? Don't be satisfied with the status quo. Don't be satisfied with past accomplishments. Forget those things which are behind and let's press forward. The Lord is coming soon. What do we need to be doing? How do we need to be living? Are we pursuing something? Are we pursuing Christ's likeness or are we just playing church? A church doesn't have to be 200 people strong to do great things for God. All it takes is people. People who are committed to the cause of Christ. People who are determined they're not going to be satisfied with mediocrity. People who are determined to grow and please God. Then God can do great things, and He will. Are you gaining, or are you maintaining? Are you moving forward, or are you slipping? We need to develop and pursue spiritual goals in our lives, so that we can grow. Is it your heart's desire? To be like Christ? If it is, if it truly is, then you're going to be willing to do whatever it takes. I encourage you in that. I stand behind you in that. I support you in that. Because I want to do that too. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Humphrey, but as the Lord leads and the Lord speaks, you do business with God.